Welcome back to these recorded messages coming to you from the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle, which is a Baptist church in London, in England, in the United Kingdom, and you are very, very welcome. So, we're coming towards the end of the year, and we do hope that you had a very happy Christmas, a good and a safe Christmas, as much as can be in these present days of these such dreadful days of COVID-19. Although there are dreadful days, it has, under God's sovereign plan, enabled us to prepare things like this. And we are very happy to do that because it is so, so important that young people particularly and other people are able to hear about the truths of the Bible. So we're coming towards the end of 2020. And I should think for many people, they will be happy that 2020 is coming to an end, because in many, many ways it's been a very, very sad year. So we want to give some thought to New Year's resolutions. I'm just going to change the screen. We're going to give a little bit of thought to that. So here we go. New Year's resolutions. Now then, this is obviously the time of the year when people think about making changes to their lives to improve themselves in all sorts of ways. Now, people make lists, and you can see that I've got from the internet someone's list, or maybe somebody's list, and they make lists to, and they see how long they can keep their New Year's resolutions. Now, we need to explain a word here. Resolutions, for the younger people, what does that mean? Now, probably the easiest way to understand a resolution is to call it a promise which you make to yourself. People are trying to keep a promise to themselves that they will improve areas of their lives. I wonder if at the end of 2020, you are making any New Year's resolutions, maybe to keep your room tidy, or to make the occasional cup of tea for your mum or your dad, maybe little things like that, which are good things to try and do. Well, you can see from the list on the screen that some of the more popular ones, things like losing weight, that's always a good idea, to run 5 miles, that's quite an achievement, to eat greens, I'm not sure if that's greens, or to eat more sustainably so that the food which we eat doesn't have to be transported so far. But people often make these lists of things to do. And some people take all this very, very seriously. I can always remember when I was working, used to go to the gym in the first couple of days of the new year, and you had to queue up to get into the changing room. There were so many people who had the New Year's resolution to make themselves fitter. And after a few days, it wasn't quite so busy at the gym. Now, some people like to say to themselves, well, what I'm going to do, I am going to base my New Year's resolution on the Ten Commandments, from the Bible in the book of Exodus. Now, you can see the top picture there. That's the Ten Commandments written in English. Now, they were more likely to be like the bottom picture there, written in what I believe to be the Hebrew language. But anyway, we don't know what they actually look like. But some people try and improve their lives or make resolutions concerning the Ten Commandments. Now, we need to understand, whilst that's a very good thing to do, very, very hard to keep, pretty well impossible, really, if we try and keep them, it doesn't make us right with God. It does not make us right with God. What does the Bible say about people trying to do things right? Wow, that's hard, isn't it? And all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And that comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6 in the Old Testament. All of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Oh dear, that's not good, is it? So God doesn't think much at all about our efforts to be good. Why? Why does God think that all of our good deeds, our righteousnesses, are like filthy rags? Because in our hearts, we have sin. Now, there's two ways to understand this. Firstly, we do things which are wrong, aren't we? I'm sure if you was to be very truthful, even this day, you would have to say, well, yes, I've done something wrong, or I've said something wrong, or I thought something wrong. But even if, and nobody can be apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, even if we were perfect, we have inherited sin. What do I mean? You know, the Bible records in Genesis about when Adam and Eve did things wrong, when they sinned before God, that sin has been handed down to every generation of the human race. And the way of understanding this, I think, is that nobody taught us how to do things wrong. Your mum or your dad or whoever looks after you at home didn't sit you down one day and say, well, this is how you do this and this is wrong. It didn't have to say that, did it? It comes naturally to us. We do these things naturally. So everything we try and do, which is good or right, comes from a heart which has sin in it. Now, God is pure, God is holy, and God cannot look upon or tolerate anything which has sin in it. And God has made it clear that the only way in which we can have forgiveness of our sins is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. God loved us so much that he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross so that we might have forgiveness for our sins. So when you try and make up some resolutions in the next few days, if you wish to do that, just remember that we can't do anything on our own to earn our forgiveness from God. We have to do what God wants us to do, to put our trust and our belief and our repentance of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we go. Now we're going to move on. We're going to have something interesting now. And I hope you're going to listen carefully to this. Let's just change the screen.
Let's just have a quiet moment and listen to something very relaxing and actually very beautiful. A recording of early morning in spring, somewhere in some woods, and you could hear lots of birds singing, couldn't you? It's estimated that there are around 9,000 species of bird in the world, and around 4,000 of them are songbirds. Even here in London, there are a number of songbirds we can see and hear every day in our parks and gardens, such as robins, blackbirds, thrushes, and chaffinches. Beautiful birds, aren't they, when you see them close up? Now, songbirds don't sing random notes, but specific songs that have musical structure. If you were to listen carefully to a songbird over several days, you'd notice that it has a collection of songs that are repeated with great accuracy. In some cases, two neighbouring birds take turns to sing and reply with an appropriate melody. This is very common in the summer months with male blackbirds. It is mainly male birds that sing, and they sing throughout the year to mark their territory. However, when marking out territory, there's no advantage in songs being beautiful. Human composers need many years of training to compose music with pleasant sounding structure and melody. But birds don't have any training at music school. The only explanation for the beauty of birdsong is that it was created by God for the sake of creating beauty. A few weeks ago, we looked at the beauty of the feathers of a peacock and found that there was no reason for such beauty, except that we are able to appreciate it and that it points, just as in the case of birdsong, to the work of a loving creator. Let's finish just with some blackbird song. Okay, now it's time to return to our verses that we were learning, which we started last week. Let's say it together now. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. Now, I hope you can remember the first verse because we're going to learn the second verse today. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And that's Luke chapter 2, verse 11. This is the good news that the angels brought to the shepherds. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. And there we have the whole two verses again. I hope you can remember them.
Thank you very much. So we are going to move on with our Christmas story. Now, it's interesting this to call it a Christmas story, because in honesty, this part of the Christmas story isn't really part of Christmas in a way, because it happened about 2 years after the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And this is the story of the visit of the wise men to the Lord Jesus. Now, we need to clear up a couple of things first. Were there three of them? We don't know. All we know is that they presented three gifts. Were they kings? There is no reference to them as being kings in the New Testament. Did they visit the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby, as so often is shown on Christmas cards? No. Did they visit him in the stable? No. There is no reference to them visiting the stable because they visited the young child, not a baby, and they came into the house. And that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. So we got that out of the way. Lots of people get that wrong. The carols get it wrong. You couldn't really sing the carol, "We three wise men of Orient are," could you? No, it doesn't fit. So some things are not actually quite right as they should be. So now we've got to that sorted out, we can continue with what is an incredibly sad piece of history recorded for us in the Bible, and a bit more of that later on. So the group of wise men were studying the sky in their homeland, and they were amazed to see a new star appear. They knew that it was special, and they followed it. They inquired of the local people as to where the king of the Jews was. Now, word got to the Roman appointed king at that time, whose name was Herod. When he heard that the wise men were seeking a new king, he was very, very concerned and called for the Jewish scholars of the time, inquiring of them where this king was. They told him that the prophet Micah in the Old Testament had written that he was to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Herod was a tricky customer. He secretly called the wise men to a meeting and asked them to let him know where the young child was so that he could go and worship him also. Now, I'm sure it doesn't take much brain power to think that no way did he want to worship the Lord Jesus. Okay, we've gone too far there. Sorry about that. Machine's sticking a little bit, never mind. So, after they again spoken to Herod, they got back on their camels and they went searching for where the star would take them. Now, they came into the house and they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ and they presented their gifts to him of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Now, you'll see that I've blotted out the artist's interpretation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about that before. I'm not happy to have any image of the Lord Jesus Christ on the screen, so I hope you'll forgive that. But that's what I wanted to do. So they worshipped him. Now, why would these clever, wise men spend lots of money on gifts and then come and worship this young lad? Because they knew that he had come into this world to be the saviour. They knew that indeed that they were in the presence of God, the one who would die to save his people from the judgment due because of the sins which we have committed. Now, moving the story on, they were warned by God not to go and speak with Herod. And they went back home on their way and they were very, very happy because their journey had been successful. Now, again, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and Joseph was warned by God to flee to Egypt urgently because something dreadful, something really bad, something evil was about to take place. Herod, when he realized that the wise men were not coming back, ordered that all of the young boys up to 2 years of age in Bethlehem were to die. How sad is that? How sad is that? This was prophesied in the Bible. Now, again, Joseph, asleep again, was visited by an angel, and he was told that it was now safe to go back to Nazareth, and he journeyed back with his family. Now, they went back home, and the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in Nazareth. And one of the verses in the Bible is a very lovely verse. It tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ grew in favor with God and with man. So, that's the end of our story for today, and we're just going to close in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping the Lord Jesus Christ safe and allowing him, Lord God, to continue his life so that he would be able to be the saviour of this world. We do pray, Lord God, that you may watch over us, Lord God, and keep us safe from COVID. We do pray, Lord God, that you may be with all of the medical staff, that you may strengthen them, that you may watch over them, Lord God, and bless them, we do pray. Be with us now, Lord God, we would ask, and we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So thank you once again for listening. We do appreciate that, and we do hope that you have a very happy and safe New Year. And we look forward to recording another message early in the new year of 2021 next Wednesday. God bless you. God be with you. And if you would like to make any comments or get in touch with us, please use any of that information there. Thank you very much indeed.